A black ribbon of water cuts through the city of Bristol under a cold midnight sky. Reflections of street lighting float and warp on its surface. On one side of the canal there's a scrapyard, where heaps of crumpled metal glisten with frost. Opposite is an abandoned red brick warehouse. Its windows are unglazed, and pigeons nest on the ledges. The silken surface of the canal water offers no clue that underneath it, a current flows more deeply than you might expect, faster and stronger. In the scrapyard, a security light comes on and a chain-link fence rattles. A 15-year-old boy jumps from it and lands heavily beside the broken body of a car. He gets up and begins to run across the yard, head back, arms flailing, panting. He runs a jagged path and stumbles once or twice, but he keeps going. Behind him, the fence rattles a second time, and once again there's the sound of a landing and pounding feet. It's another boy, and he's moving faster, with strong, fluid strides, and he doesn't stumble. The gap between them closes as the first boy reaches the unfenced bank of the canal and understands in that moment that he has nowhere else to go. At the edge of the water, they stand just yards from each other. Noah Sadler, his chest heaving, turns to face his pursuer. "Abdi," he says. He's pleading. Nobody who cares about them knows that they're there. Earlier that evening, at the end of my last session with Dr. Manelli, the police psychotherapist, we kiss. Awkwardly. My mistake. I think it's on account of the euphoria I'm feeling, as the sessions I've been forced to attend with Dr. Manelli are finally over. It's not personal. It's just that I don't like discussing my life with strangers. At goodbye time, she offered me a professional handshake, long-fingered elegance and a single silver band around a black-cuffed, slender wrist. But I forgot myself and went in for a cheek peck, and that's when we found ourselves in a stiff half-clinch that was embarrassing. "Sorry," I say. Anyway, thank you.
"You're welcome."
She turns away and straightens some papers on her desk, two dots of colour warming her cheekbones.
"Going forward, I'm always here if you need me," she says. "My door is always open."
"And your report?"
"We'll recommend that you return immediately to the Criminal Investigations Department, as we discussed."
"When do you think you'll submit that? I don't want to sound pushy, but I don't want any unnecessary delay either."
"As soon as you leave my office, Detective Inspector Klimo."
She smiles, but can't resist a final lecture.
"Please don't forget that it can take a long time to recover from a period of depression. The feelings you've been having, the anger, the insomnia, don't expect them to disappear completely, and you need to be alert to them returning. If you feel as if they might swamp you, that's the moment I want to hear from you, not when it's too late."
"Before I embed my fist in a wall at work again," is what she means. I nod and take a last look around her office. It's muted and still, a room for private conversations and troubling confidences. It's been 6 months since my therapy began. The aim was to throw me a lifeline, to save me from drowning in the guilt and remorse I felt after the Ben Finch investigation, to teach me how to accept what happened and how to move on. Ben Finch was 8 years old when he disappeared, in a high-profile, high-stakes case, the details of which were plastered all over the media for weeks. I agonized over him and felt personally responsible for his fate. But I shouldn't have. You have to preserve some professional distance or you're no good to anybody. I believe I have finally accepted what happened, sort of. I've convinced Dr. Manelli that I have, anyhow. I call my boss in the Criminal Investigations Department as I jog down the stairs in Manelli's building, my eyes fixed on the pane of glass above the front door. Slicked with daylight, it represents my freedom. Fraser doesn't answer, so I leave her a message letting her know that I'm ready to come back to work and ask if I can start tomorrow. "I'll take on any case," I tell her. I mean it. Anything will do. If it gives me a chance to rejoin the game.